You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, happy Heavenly Father's Day. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know the Lord's going to do some awesome stuff today. He already has. There's been an awesome thing happening this weekend with Summer Celebration. I know there's some kind of catchphrase when all the kids respond with, what is that? God is good. All right. So here's Carly with some awesome announcements and a little overview of Summer Celebration.
So we'll go ahead and start with our video from Summer Celebration, which was last week here with all of our frontline kids and youth and young adults, well, junior high. It was a really awesome time. We'll let the video speak for itself. So we want to thank all of the kids and junior hires that attended. We also ended with a junior high all-night blast. Sorry we didn't get any pictures of that up in there. But I know that that was a really awesome time as well. And we thank you, kids and families and everyone that invited others to come in. We had between 30 or 35 kids or so, and definitely some new faces as well as the frontline kids that are here on a regular basis. So that was really exciting. And a big thank you to everyone that helped set up, prepare everything ahead of time, helped during, the teachers, the people that were in the kitchen, the picture takers, and those that helped to stay clean up as well. We could not have done it without all of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. When life is wild, God is good. Yes. So we have some more really exciting things coming up. I want to once again highlight the fact that we are collecting soccer donations, shoes and shin guards and balls, as well as finances to take with us. Well, not us. I'm not going this year. But to take with the team to Mozambique just in July next month for Sunshine Iris Soccer Academy. Is there anyone that is here that has not received one of these flyers? Because we want to make sure that everyone has the information on it so you know exactly what it is that we are supporting. Isaac, would you be able to go and give that to anyone that has their hand up? I think, yeah. Go ahead, raise your hand if you have not yet received one of those flyers. Isaac will go into you. So we are collecting donations. If you want to give financially, you can use the offering cards in the back of the seat pockets. Just mark it S-I-S-A. Or Moe's Soccer, if that's easier to remember. That'll be fine. Go ahead, put it in the offering box on the back wall. And we're collecting donations anytime between now and when the team leaves in July. But the sooner that we can get them in, the better. So if they are finances, we can purchase anything ahead of time and or purchase things once we are in country. So we really appreciate your help in supporting that vision of Pastor Jose Novella, who we work with in Mozambique. And then also next week, June 24th to the 27th, Haley Schultz is hosting a basketball camp for missions for ages 5 through 10. I know some of you have done this in the past, and it sounds like it's been a lot of fun. So these flyers are on a table in the back, in the corner of the foyer. If you know anyone that you think might be interested, please feel free to take one of those, invite them, and contact Haley to sign up if you haven't done that yet. Then also, that same week, we have Jackson Community Celebration, which is a local outreach opportunity here in Jackson Township, June 26th through the 29th. That's Wednesday through Saturday. We have a booth set up. It's like a big fair with games and food. And we have a booth where we share the love of Jesus through handing out balloons. offerings, offering prayer, giving information about our church, as well as drawing personal pictures from the Lord for the people that come to the booth. So if you haven't signed up to volunteer for that yet, we encourage you to do so. Also on a table in the foyer, we'd love for you to take some time to look at that today. Jot your names down so we can make sure that there will be plenty of people there at the table to minister to all of those in the community that will be there. And Jamie has another announcement.
So after the 4th of July is the weekend, and July 7th, we have our annual missions celebration, our picnic that we have outside to celebrate all that the Lord is doing in the nations, all the different ministries that we're partnering with overseas, as well as here locally. Many, in recent years, we've used as a time to launch off our teams and to have families come and meet each other, but we're really transitioning into having this be our big one-year thing where we're celebrating missions. So it's not just for the Mozambique team that's going, not just for the Brazil team members that went in January. It's for all of us here in Frontline, as well as every others in the community, people that you know that you would love for them to hear about Mozambique, Ghana, Asia, and all those places. And it's not going to be the way we've used to do it. It's going to be way more interactive and fun and less sitting down, eating, and playing games. It's going to be all of that plus more. And especially, like we did last year, this year the Greenlight Missions Group is going to have something prepared for us as well that's very special, something that they're working on as part of their leg of missions with Frontline. Because as you guys all know, the adults aren't the only ones that go overseas and go to First Friday. Our amazing kids, our Frontline kids here, are also going to the streets. They're praying for the sick. They're going and they're preaching the gospel. And they're doing dramas and they're preparing for something in August as well. So they're a part of this. And just as the whole vision of what God's released to Frontline. So there will be more details on that coming soon with logistically, with food and everything. That's going to look a little bit different too, but look out for maybe a text or an email from me for help with some things. But please mark that in your calendar and don't just think, oh, I'm just coming because I'm sending Susie off to Mozambique. Think of people that would love to come and be impacted by the gospel and what God is doing in the earth and how they can sow in and be a part of it. Amen? Amen. So put it in your calendar. And then one other thing I'll just put in is that when we're going to Mozambique this summer, and I'm sure the pastors will have more to say about this, we have a strong desire to bring money with us to support the relief efforts that are taking place. Many have been displaced from their homes. Many are hungry, without clothing. They're living in very dirty water. There's a cholera now that has come out of this, the cyclones. So we want to go in with the love of Jesus, a supernatural gospel, but also practically meet their needs. And we're coming alongside Iris Global, Pastor Jose Novella, who has already been the boots on the ground to support him and back him up. How amazing would it be if we could bring an extra bag? They're $100 extra. Ethiopian Airlines isn't allowing us a free bag. We already tried. We sent an amazing letter, but they denied it, unfortunately. So it would be amazing if we had $100 extra for each 13. We have 13 team members, if we had extra money. So if it's on your heart to put that in, you can write that on the offering card or however you'd like to give. But we'd like to bring extra supplies and then also when we're there and bring money with us because they're so in need. And we want to be a blessing to them. So please be thinking of that and praying and ask the Lord what he would have you do. So bless you and bless Andy Somers this morning, who is speaking. Just extend your hands to him this morning. Father, we just thank you for this amazing man of God and for Nikki as well. Thank you for their family, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have a word this morning for us to just penetrate our hearts, God, to bring us higher from glory to glory into your presence, to see you more clearly, to hear you more clearly, God. So that you can receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We bless Andy. Thank you for anointing his words and seasoning his words, Father, for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, before the kingdom kids are released to kingdom land for kingdom, trying to think of another K word. Kindness and compassion with, yes. Those are C, but if I could have Jordan and Mike McRae come up, and then obviously you guys heard the beginning of a testimony. Obviously, those of you who don't know, our pastors right now are in what I would refer to as the center of the earth, which is Jerusalem. And so there was a testimony. Their passports did come in. They were able to make it on the plane. Haley drove them through the night, I believe, to Pittsburgh, and they were on their way. So we wanted to catch you guys up with the crazy, amazing part for where we left off last Sunday. For those of you that don't know, you should probably just listen to last Sunday's message because it's summed up there real quick. But needless to say, they got the passports were en route, and they were standing in faith, and that's where we ended the service on Sunday. And then if Jordan can take over from there.
Get the pictures. Okay. Quick step back. I just want to share something about my personal experience. Many of you know I'm a pharmacist. I work for a mail order pharmacy, and we ship out about $30 million worth of medication through FedEx every month. And so I have a lot of experience with FedEx, and I know there's been several cases where we've lost tens up to $30,000 worth of medication in one shipment. And FedEx is so big, they oftentimes can't flex a whole lot. And so we try to reroute and redirect and haven't been successful on a $30,000 package. So last Sunday, before PMP talked about the whole situation on Sunday, I found out on Saturday that they were going to be delayed in Memphis. And my first thought was, there's no way they're going to get them. I've seen numerous situations of very high cost situations where there hasn't been a resolution. So when I was presented the opportunity of helping a hand in this, my first thought was, I'll do whatever I can. But honestly, in the natural, this isn't going to happen. Well, then when Sunday came around and I heard about what God was doing with the embassy and how that was expedited, there was a shift in my spirit and my mentality, and I knew God really had his hand in this because of everything all the hearts he changed at the embassy. I said, wait a second, he can change the same hearts at FedEx. And so, Mike, I don't know if you want to share first or what you want to share about, but it kind of starts last Sunday, left off, passports were in Memphis, they weren't going to deliver till Monday, and kind of this is where...
Yeah, I think it was Friday night. Some of this we kind of talked about last week, but PMP had called me and said, "Hey, can you help? we have a situation." She explained I used to work at FedEx back in the day, a long time ago. So I'm also familiar with their system and the way they do things. And small package service, there's not unless you're paying a lot of money to track the shipment every single way for like if it's critical. It's almost impossible to try to get more specific information and try to move it through the process, especially if it's a letter, like in an envelope. It's like even harder. So my initial thought was, I felt that based on the information that I was given, I'm like, well, let's just see what happens because I think there could be some more here. And so I had called and got in touch with the customer advocate group, which I didn't ask for them. They just transferred me and talked with a couple different contacts who were, I was pretty explicit in, this is a very time sensitive, critical, there's plane tickets in there that do need to get back. And was told there's passports, plane tickets, and a money order in there, and they need to actually get to Canton, Ohio. If we let it just go, then, I mentioned Bill and Mary Pat, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, they're going to miss their flight, et cetera, et cetera. So they said, well, we'll see what we can do. And they said they would call me in the middle of the night or somewhere in there. I never got a call. So the next day, I think this was Sunday, I decided to call them during church, and it took a little bit of finagling just to get to the right contact because the other person had left. Naturally, it was the end of their shift, all of that. I got in touch with another person, and I just was not getting anywhere. So I'm like, okay, well, bless you, but let's try again. And so I called back. I mean, this was like a 2-hour deal. I was on the phone and thankfully got in touch with another guy from the same group and basically confirmed that the package was supposed to leave around 6 o'clock or 3 o'clock or somewhere in there. And it was supposed to arrive into Cleveland that evening, which we were told around 6 o'clock by two different people. or one person, and this guy pretty much confirmed that. And Jordan was able to find a flight that we thought that, okay, this it has to be on this flight. I mean, it just has to. I mean, what other flight would it be? And so the biggest thing at that point was to make sure that it got on the flight. So I'm on the phone just saying, is there any information? You know, giving them the tracking number. And they're trying to call Memphis. And Memphis is, you know, the FedEx headquarters is like a city down there. I've never been there, but just from what I know. And so they're on the phone. They're trying to contact people down in Memphis, explaining everything. And they're just basically relaying back to us. And so... so I think at that point, so Jordan found the flight, and then we were able to find the exact flight. And then I think sometime after that, we confirmed that the package was on the flight. I got in touch with another person, another agent, and they said, yes, the package is definitely on that flight. I was like, okay, that was a relief. And then, so then we knew it was getting to Cleveland. Well, then we had to continue to stay on top of it because you know how it goes. You know, it's a letter, and there's thousands of packages and they're in these containers that they're big containers that they put them in, and there's a ton of them. And I think they had this particular container at the front of the aircraft, and they typically don't unload those containers first. Yeah, they usually do the envelopes last, I want to say, but and then after that.
Yeah, so again, just to step back, God gives us information exactly when we need it, when we need it, and he gives us urges in our spirit. So when I was headed up to Cleveland, the only guidance we were given at that time was go to the security office and tell them you're there for a package. So I go up to the airport, and I happen to go to this one like side of the airport, this teller booth where there's a security agent. I said, I'm here to intercept a package. He says, I have no idea what you're talking about, but let me make a few calls. 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, he comes back out. He says, you actually need to go on the backside of the airport. I was like, I didn't even know there was a backside. So in between the IX Center and the airport, there's this building, this FedEx building, the Postal Service building. And I'm there, and there's nobody there. And so I'm like, okay, God, it's, you know, it's a little bit before 5 here. This flight's not supposed to land till 6:30. I'm at peace, but nobody's here. I'm ringing the doorbells, nothing. So probably about 10 minutes later, if that, I start seeing employees pulling in the parking lot and just sitting in their cars. I was like, okay, there must be a new shift at 5 o'clock. Great. So employees start walking in the building. I just start grabbing them. I'm like, hey, I'm here for a package. I tell them a quick version of it. And everyone's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to have to wait till Monday. If that's when it's going to deliver, that's what it's going to deliver. We can't do anything. So eventually I stop one lady and I kind of keep pressing in because I know God really wants this. And I said, well, is there anybody else I can talk to? And she's like, well, there's not a whole lot I can do. And she looks up and she says, well, actually, my manager just pulled in the parking lot. And I right next to me, the spot next to me, the manager parked. She comes around the car right up to me, smile on her face, said, how can I help you? I was like, oh, well, this is, you know, a curbside service right here. So I tell her the situation. She asked me for the tracking number and the address it's supposed to deliver to. And I told her it's Maslin. And she said, you came all the way from Maslin? And I was like, well, I was willing to go to Memphis if I needed to. But so she says, this must be important. I'm going to personally look for it. And that's when she told us that, you know, the flight, you know, lands 6:30. Usually those are last. We might not even get to them until close to midnight. Well, here the pastors are driving off to Pittsburgh around that time. And she said, I'm going to make sure you don't go home empty-handed. So I was like, okay, this is great. And over the course of another hour, she comes walking out with a package. So God is faithful, and trust me, we just need to know exactly what he's doing, because my initial mindset was this isn't going to happen. But when I heard about what God was doing in the other areas and other people's hearts, I knew he's going to fulfill this. So we have a couple pictures here of the passports and the pastors. So he is faithful.
Just one other detail I want to add. May have said this last week, but Pastor Mary Pat was talking about persistence last weekend. And there was a point on Saturday when I was on the phone and I just was not getting anywhere trying to, because I had spoken to the previous agent, you know, stressing the importance of the shipment, making sure that it gets on that flight that evening. And so when I got in touch with someone else, it was like, I could hardly understand the person, and it was like going in circles, and it kind of made me, and this person wouldn't let me do anything. It was kind of like I was sort of hitting a wall, and I sort of, there was a temptation to want to just give up in that moment. I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I just thought, I was thinking about the whole visa situation, like, you know, and like Jamie and the pastors were involved in getting those visas. And I said, no, this is a test from the Lord. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep pressing in. And so I decided to call back. And that's when I got in touch with someone else. You know, bless the person who I talked to before. Obviously, the Lord loves them and all of that. You know, but I needed to be persistent in that moment, just like Jordan had to be persistent when he was actually physically on site, because they were telling me, yeah, just go to the security to have whoever go to the security office at the airport, and someone's going to meet you there with the package. Well, we didn't know what, there's a lot of unknowns there, like what security office, who, you know, does he just sit there and wait? You know, he couldn't go to the local FedEx facility that's right next to the airport because they're closed on a Sunday. So it's like, what do we do? And so then, you know, Jordan had to be persistent in that as well. So God used, you know, Peter was involved and you know, also on the phone for like 2 hours on Friday. You know, God used all of us and others just to be persistent the entire way. It was like almost like an assembly line. You know, you're okay, this is your task, you know. But if I just kind of let it go or give up, then that tool or whatever is being produced is just going to fall off the track. It's not going to accomplish. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's crazy. All right, Kingdom Kids, you are released to Kingdom Land for kindness and knowledge. So obviously we can take one of the fun things about following Jesus and loving him is that sometimes we can just read into things in the spirit prophetically, and sometimes it lands and it's 100% on, and sometimes because we have such a awareness of knowledge that we can just kind of, you know, make something spiritual because it sounds good. But that's not what's going to happen this morning. I'm just letting you know that obviously there's some kind of spiritual significance that our pastors are in Israel for their 25th wedding anniversary. Like, God has a reason and a purpose for that to happen. It's not just coming from the place of, hey, I'd love to go to Israel. Wouldn't that be awesome and sweet? I'm sure there's a part of that. And we might not even fully, completely, 100% understand what those kingdom purposes are, but I believe the Lord wants to reveal to us the significance of that. Because here in this body, obviously, there are spiritual leaders, there are spiritual parents, and there's a reason that the Lord has them there. So if we go to that picture of Pastor Murray Pat next to the Wailing Wall, which is just, yeah. So to me, what is crazy, and I don't know about you guys, I'm a huge fan of history in its many, many forms because of God and how God layers things. But that literally there's still a wall that is there in Jerusalem that is part of Solomon's temple from way back in the day, where the glory of the Lord, you know, came down in a cloud to where everyone was like, whoa, wait a minute. So there are special places in the earth where God has visited with his presence, and that shouldn't weird us out. You know, there are some unique places that are special on God's heart. Now, obviously, God has a heart for all of the nations, but God's heart for all of the nations ultimately is to bring all of the eyes back to this specific nation. How do we know that? Why, my goodness, it's the verse that's right behind her. And it shall be at the end of the days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be firmly established at the top of the mountains, and it shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it. So in whatever weird way God has worked things out, somehow, at the end of time, when all of earth closes out, all of the eyes of the earth are going to be drawn to Jerusalem. They're going to be drawn to Jesus, the returning Messiah for his people. Obviously, you guys are, some of you don't know, how many of you guys remember what I shared about last time? So you, yeah, you can listen to it in slow motion. But essentially it was, people get ready, because Jesus is coming. And he's returning as the Savior and Messiah of the Jewish people. And at the same time, the Lord, I believe, wants to reveal to us what he's doing in this season, in this hour. And so you can look at the fact that at Relentless Pursuit last year, Brother Yun from China came and was right here speaking and releasing his heart. Now, for those of you that don't know, Brother Yun has suffered mighty persecution in China. He was delivered from prison supernaturally, where God literally told him on broken legs to get up and walk out of a maximum security prison. And God opened up every door and blinded the guards to who he was. He literally walked out of this prison, got into a cab, and basically then was, through various things, got his way out of China. But one of the things that is very close to his heart is that he carries this whole thing called the Back to Jerusalem movement, which his heart and all of these other different Chinese leaders in China, their heart is to raise up Chinese missionaries that will carry the gospel of Jesus Christ all the way back to Jerusalem. So if you look at a world map and you see China, if you just move west, you're going to go through Russia and all these other different countries, and eventually you're going to get to Jerusalem. So it's spiritually significant that that guy was here, because not only is he carrying a message of humility and love and surrender of our hearts to Jesus, but he's also carrying that same DNA of, hey, we're awakening the nations, raising up missionaries, sons and daughters, to carry the gospel all the way to the end of the world in Jerusalem. And so one of the things that I shared out last time is that we shouldn't be freaked out about how the world is going to respond to the fact that Jesus is returning. Because it's going to get crazy dark. It's going to get crazy weird. It's going to get crazy messed up. It's just going to get crazy because people don't know Jesus. But obviously we're called to share Jesus to them. So if people don't know Jesus, they're going to give in to certain ways of thinking and mindsets and everything else. So there's a spiritual significance for what God is doing with having them in Jerusalem at this time. What is that in fullness? I don't know. Now, I can theorize, I can come up with spiritual sounding ideas of what that means, but I think it's an invitation for each one of us to ask God, why? Why this time? Why this season? Why this hour? What are you saying? What are you doing? What's all happening in that world? And the thing that I've been discovering more and more as I grow in my relationship with Jesus is that a lot of times I found out that I really don't know as much as I thought I did know. Now, that doesn't mean I'm stupid, doesn't mean I'm dumb, doesn't mean I'm ignorant. It just means that the Lord keeps incorporating this element of mystery, of drawing me into the fuller knowledge of who he is. Now, some people could take the statement that I just made and then introduce all kinds of weird, crazy theological things that don't make sense. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus, in his relationship with us, has a degree of things that he's not going to fully reveal to us that is drawing us in by invitation to discover more of who he is. So there's some things that the Lord's laid on my heart to share this morning, and I'm not sure how they all fit together, but I know that they do because he's the one who does it. So God's been revealing some of these things to me about, you know, his heart and Jesus and the role of the end times and how that all looks and everything else. And then the question kind of popped up in my heart, well, what does that mean? So we all hear about the prophecies of Jesus, he's returning. But this being Father's Day, I was thinking to myself, well, what role does the Father play in the whole end time thing and return of Jesus. Because the scripture says nobody knows the day or the hour except the Father. It says the Son doesn't even know. Well, that's interesting. I don't fully know and understand what is all going on there, but I know that the Lord's going to reveal that. But there's a role that the Father plays as well, because Jesus also said when he was on the earth, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through. So obviously the Father is inviting us into a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm the pathway to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now, one of the things that encourages me is that Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, modeled to us what a father-son relationship is truly to look like. Because he said, what did Jesus say? I only do what? I only do what I see my Father do. The scripture says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So all of the compassion, all of the love, all of the humility, all of the sacrifice, all of that is an expression of the Father heart of God. In the same way, God, the Father, is incredibly generous. He's incredibly giving because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him but have everlasting life. So I'm just going to step out on a limb and say there's something to this whole father-son relationship. I don't know. It's just everywhere in the scripture. So there's things to be discovered there. Now, obviously, today is Father's Day, where we celebrate and we honor fathers. And so, and somehow, in the Holy Spirit way of his doing this thing, I believe that this ties together what he's doing in this season and in this hour, because the reason why God created us was to have a family. He wanted sons and daughters to choose to love him. That's why we were created. We were created to worship him. And each one of us is a unique, special creation that carries a unique representation of God and who he is. Because every single person is different, and we have different stories, we have different testimonies, we have different ways that God is revealing himself through us, yet he calls us together to be a family. So I'm going to venture to say that if you're sitting in here this morning, God has called you into this spiritual family. Now, we also have, I have some of my natural family here. My mom and dad are back there. Hi, mom and dad. They're awesome. So they're here as well. And obviously somehow God arranged it from time immemorial that I would be born on April 20th, 1978, the same day as Hitler, National Weed Smoking Day, the day that Columbine happened, the day after Waco, all kinds of not so many good things happened on April 20th. But, except for me, no. God had a plan and a purpose. Needless to say that he has redeemed me. I used to think that 420 was a blessing that I was born on that day. Apart from Jesus. My goodness, it's almost this divine thing that he made every green thing good, didn't he? No. I'm not advocating in any way, shape, or form that. On a quick, super small side note, if you meet an individual who is citing scripture to you to justify their weed smoking habit, they're off the page. That's just, it's just not going to fly. The Lord's going to, if you have to justify it, You're the moment you've opened your mouth to try to convince me that you're right, you're already, you're so far gone off the page.
It's ridiculous. So today I wanted to do something in honor of Father's Day to honor some fathers in my life that have helped mold and shape me as the person who I am. All of them being, as you hear this, a reflection of the father heart of God presented in the lives of different people around me. You guys all right with me doing that? Be it today? Someone's going to be like, no, you can't. You can't do that. So, obviously you have some pictures, Angela, in there. You got to scroll through them. So, the first one would be my dad, right back there, Marvin Summers. One of the things, that is not. That is not my dad. That is my grandparents. There's a picture of myself and my dad. My mom's in there, though. She's on the all the way on the left side there. So one of the things that I think is humorous about my dad is that he was raised in a conservative Mennonite family. And a lot of times in a conservative Mennonite family, they have lots of biblical names. Marvin is not a biblical name. And in fact, Leroy, his brother, is not a biblical name. And when I meet individuals and I tell them my dad's name is Marvin, they sometimes laugh and they think that he might have been born into an African-American family because Marvin is more of an African-American name. But I just find it humorous, this conservative Mennonite family, and then it's like, Bible name, Bible name, Bible name, Marvin! So, but my dad is a blessing because he modeled for me what it is like to work. And he was faithful in doing that, and sometimes it was hard, and sometimes it was difficult, but I can attribute the work ethic that is on the inside of me to my dad. He started his own business. He was laying block, and then that didn't, you know, then the economy tanked. Pretty bad, right, Dad? It tanked pretty bad, and then he shifted into truck driving. And he was at a job for a while, truck driving, that probably he didn't enjoy because he was gone for so long. And it took some readjusting, but he kept knowing that, hey, there's something better out there. And then he got connected with this really good trucking company called Overnight Trucking. And then they got bought by UPS, which made it even better because UPS is a really good company, even though they're competitors of FedEx, who we heard about this morning. But... And so he retired, I believe, two and a half years ago. But I know that as I walk through my life, God called me to start my own business. And it was a risk. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. My dad did that. You know, there's that whole line of things like, hey, this is okay. God's going to take care of me. Now, obviously, God had something else for him in that realm, but it all worked out. And I'm so thankful to my dad for releasing that on the inside of me, because my parents were, growing up, I'd be like, hey, we all had the Nintendo, the original Nintendo, and then we wanted the next thing up, which was Sega Genesis, because Nintendo's things, they weren't improving their thing yet. I was like, I want one of those, and they're like, well, that's great, you can have that, but you're going to have to buy that yourself. It's like, what? You're not going to give that to me? No, you're going to go out and you're going to work, and you're going to get that yourself. And I did. And they somehow worked things out, and I got a job, and this was the summer after my eighth grade year, and my first job was at a funeral home. For those of you who don't know, that's very interesting. Summer after my eighth grade year. But what I did is I mowed yards, and I did mulch, and I wasn't actually, you know, doing mortician kind of stuff. Why? Because, you know, you're a freshman in high school, so you can't really do that. But, so that all happened and took place, and then basically, I've just been so thankful for the different things that he has modeled and shown and demonstrated in my life, and I know I wouldn't be who I am today without it. So, thank you, Dad. Let's give Marvin Summers a... And so, the second person I'd like to honor today, who actually isn't in there, who is not in here, he's not here right now, he's in heaven, and that is my grandpa John.
or Johnny. So if you want to go to two pictures. It's the black and white. Yep, there we go. So there's my grandma. There's my grandpa at the bottom looking like a mobster with his trench coat and thing like that. Well, the amazing part was is that my grandparents were missionaries in Germany after World War II. My mom grew up in Germany. Her first language was German, and then English, and then German, and then English. And so she sometimes pronunciates words a little bit differently, and we make fun of her for that. But that's just because she learned a different language first. So my grandparents were in Germany right after World War II, and for a quick history lesson, okay, World War II, we all know, we're fighting the Nazis, German, all of that. So in countries that are east of Germany, you had Hungary, you had Poland, you had all these countries. As Russia was also fighting Germany, as Russia was advancing on Germany, going west, they were coming through these countries. They were coming through Hungary, they were coming through Poland. Now there were Germans that lived in those countries. If the Russians found Germans, they would kill them because they were German. They didn't care. It's just like, that's what we're going to do. So all of these Germans had to leave their homes. They were refugees. They had nothing. They're fleeing the advancing Russians. They're coming to their own home country, which is Germany, which is in shambles because of the war. So all of the Germans that are actually living in Germany, they're having a difficult time because they just got defeated. So you have all these displaced people, the refugees, they have no home, they have no families, they have none of that because they had to leave their houses and they have nowhere to stay. And so where my grandparents were positioned at, they literally had a munitions factory that was used for making weapons in World War II for the Germans, got turned into housing for these German refugees. These German refugees had crazy stories about how, en route, they lost family members. They had nothing but the clothes on the back, their own back. They some of them froze to death. Some of them got shot by Russians. Some of them had the most horrible things happen to them that you can imagine. Yet, in this place, my grandpa and grandma helped, along with some other believers, have a place for them, got them housing, and most of what they did was listen to their stories of these people that had nothing. And they were able to present Jesus, and obviously some of them as well already knew Jesus. And so I grew up hearing these testimonies of all these ways that God worked in the lives of these people that had incredibly difficult situations and circumstances. And so not only did I get a heart for missions and sharing the gospel from my grandfather, I also got this whole, like, stories of situations and circumstances, stuff that we can't even imagine. I can't imagine. It boggles my mind that some people would be in that difficult of situations. And then somehow God worked it all out that uniquely, whenever there were major, like, historical events that we didn't realize were historical events, whenever they happened, I was with my grandpa when they happened. I remember sitting there with him when I heard about the Berlin Wall falling, which was the separating of East Germany and West Germany. I was in the car with him, hearing the radio report, and he was just like, wow, this is crazy, because he saw that firsthand. That whole, like, separation. I remember I was riding to church with him because he was a pastor, and it was the beginning of the Gulf War. Like, the very night that the Gulf War started with, like, them flying, all that kind of stuff, I was riding in the car with him. I'm like, this is crazy. So there were all these, like, historical things, and he was a big fan of history, and so that just kind of, like, filtered down on the inside of me, and it just, I got a real hunger and thirst for all of that. And one of the things that I didn't realize till later, which I know that this comes from my grandpa and spiritual heritage and things, he memorized the entire book of Revelation. Like, what? That's awesome. Like, just picture this, okay? Because you don't really kind of get this impression. Like, conservative Mennonite pastor memorizes the book of Revelation.
And one of the things that I loved and appreciated about my grandpa, when I was in my rebellious, like working on my testimony days, he never sat me down and was like, stop. He never like laid down the law on me. He never like lit into me. He was constant. He was continual. He was loving, and he was never shocked by anything that I did or said, but I knew that he continued to pray for me, which I am so incredibly thankful for, and I know that obviously my family as well was praying for me because I was really messed up. And so but that's one of the things I appreciate about him, because it's kind of, sometimes we, how do others say this, that like every single, like if you get into the denominational thing, like some of them have their shortcomings, and every version does. Every denomination's got some things that they're strong in and some things that they're not so good in. And one of the things that I found is that like sometimes you can look at sort of Mennonites and it's kind of like legalistic. You got to wear the covering, you got to do it. But in conversations with my grandpa, it always came down to, yeah, but do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because that's the most important part. Because I can't imagine meeting a whole bunch of like German refugees that have nothing on the back and say, well, now that you've given your life to Jesus, you better get put a covering on. You better follow all of these rules. It's more so, let's talk about the condition of your heart, because that's the most important part. And so that's one of the things I appreciate, is that his heart was, do you know Jesus? Bottom line, despite everything else, like, do you know Jesus? And one of the things that blessed me the most, and then some of you guys know this, some of you don't, but that when he was close to passing away, he had a really rare form of skin cancer. And so I was kind of torn between two worlds, because I'd love to like pray for him and see him, you know, be completely healed and restored, which, you know, I was taking that to the Lord, and the Lord's like, that's awesome, man. He continued to pray for that. But then also, it was kind of like the Lord spoke to me, yeah, he's faithfully served me for his whole life, and he wants to come home, and I'm not necessarily going to stop him from doing that. Now, you clearly have to hear that from the Lord, because the Lord was saying, my heart in wanting to see life wasn't a bad thing. But he's like, his relationship with me is at a point where he wants to come home, and I'm not going to stop him. But I remember that there was a time my brother and I, we were there, we were around him, hospice was in and out, and we were worshiping, and as we were worshiping, the Lord showed me this picture of this open heaven over my grandfather, and I saw these angels coming up and down in this room as we were worshiping. And as we were worshiping, God began to show me that, he basically spoke to me and said, Andy, it's sacrifices that your grandfather made for the gospel. He left his family, he went overseas, like he lived over there for 20 years. He missed birthdays. He missed all kinds of things. He missed all of those things, but for the purposes of the gospel. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Andy, the fruit that you're seeing in your life right now, your heart for the nations, you going and going all over the world since I gave my life to Jesus, all of that, he goes, it was sacrifices and obedience that your grandfather stepped into that actually opened up the door for you right now. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Because then I can't necessarily take credit for that. Not that any of us could. But so there was that spiritual, godly heritage and inheritance. And so some of you here, you might not have that. And the Lord's saying, that's okay, because it begins right now with you. Because there's sacrifices and choices and things that you make for the gospel that are going to open up doors for those coming after you. So there's never been a better time than right now. Because sometimes the tendency would be, if you hear stories like this, you're going to be like, well, that's great, Andy, but I don't have that. And actually, comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy, because I can't look at somebody else's. The Lord wants us to look at the testimonies of people's lives and say, that's what's possible, and that's what I'm going to do next. You know, testimonies, do it again. It's not, well, I didn't have that, so I have less than this. Because if we go down that road, my goodness, we won't step into the fullness of what God has for us, because we're comparing ourselves to other people. And each one of us are a unique creation of him, called to reflect a unique aspect of him. So let's not compare and contrast. Let's just say, yes, Jesus, do it in me and do it in the generations beyond me. Because he's going to. So obviously, That's my grandpa. So then we have, which, and however way this can be, I don't know where he went, but then I've got a picture on there of one Troy Larson. Aw. That's still my grandma and grandpa. Got pictures. Sorry, Angela. I just sent pictures to Angela without a lot of things in there. Yeah, that's one. So there's Troy and I and Mark. We're in India. And I think I got one more of Troy and myself, but maybe if not. But so soon after I had come out of all the rebellion in my life and had surrendered my life to Jesus and said, wherever you want to go, whatever you want me to do, I somehow got connected with this Troy Larson with another friend, Troy. And I met him and he said, you should come check out this Bible study. And I was like, well, so I did. And when I checked out that Bible study, I was like, man, all of these people are totally different than I am. So I had a shaved head and had a goatee. And I had just come out of like living in the world and doing whatever I wanted to do and drinking and doing drugs and, you know, all of this. But then Jesus, you know, showed himself to me and revealed himself to me. And then I find myself in this house with these people that were a little bit unusual, and they're singing these songs over and over and over and over again. But the unique thing that happens as they were continuing to sing over and over, the presence of the Lord just rolled in, and I was just like crying my eyes out because I was just sensing and feeling the love of Jesus. I'm like, why is this happening to me? This is so crazy. I don't want to be here, but I do want to be here because the presence of God was so strong and the love, and I was just, oh, Jesus. And it was so good. And then the Lord connected me with Troy, and he began to just share and impart his heart and his love of the Lord. And I remember, like, this is just the way that my mind works. Remember, I'm fresh out of the world. So naturally speaking, like, the last person on earth that I would sit down and be like, I'm going to go hang out with that guy. Because the way, you know, the way that you work as like a teenager, young person, you're like, well, we don't like the same things, and da 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 da. And I remember the Holy Spirit clearly speaking to me, and he said, Andy, there's things that you need that I've put inside of that man, and I want you to get to know him. And I was like, yes. So Troy was with me. Yeah, there's a good, awesome. So Troy was with me when he prayed for me. I remember I don't know if it was maybe the Kmart parking lot in North Canton. He prayed for me to, like, somehow I had already, I believe, gotten filled with the Spirit, but he prayed for me, and all of a sudden it was like, I just tongues of fire, and I was praying in tongues really loudly, and it was just, I don't know if you remember that or not, Troy, probably not. But, no, you remember everything. But, so somehow the Lord just uniquely brought together this relationship and this friendship. And I can honestly say, besides the pastors, I probably have been on more trips overseas and sharing the gospel with Troy than any other person here. We've been on, and the Lord obviously has developed a friendship and a father, spiritual father-son thing from like the beginning of surrendering my life to Jesus, which I'm so thankful for. Because as you see this picture here, here we are on the, you know, the bluffs of the land that the Lord's given us, Frontline in Mozambique. And I don't know how, I mean, you saw the picture of Troy and I in India. I don't know how many places we've gone for the purposes of the gospel where the Lord somehow connected us together. And we were seeing God do things. And it was so much fun because not only did God bring, you know, this fatherly influence into my life to encourage and build me up, but then it was almost like this, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a half brother, half father, whatever. It's kingdom relationship that God brought about, which I would not be who I am today without it. And so thank you, Troy. Because his heart was to invest in me. And part of me was just like, okay, Lord, whatever you have. And all of those dumb, like, thoughts of, like, wow, I'm not going to, why would I want to hang out with Troy? All of that just, like, I mean, I know I, like, bring that up, but all of that's, it's stupid. It's just stupid preference things that keep us from actually connecting with the people that God's calling us to connect with. because I totally am thankful for the person that Troy is in my life. And I don't have an awesome picture, but I know that Lawrence is in that boat as well. And as I remember Lawrence's first mission trip, which if you just want to have some fun story time with Lawrence, just ask him about his first mission trip and some of his encounters with Troy on that mission trip and myself. And so Lawrence, when he first came, he just had a real heart for Jesus, but he was really weirded out by like these spiritual manifestations because it was just unusual. But I got to see the Holy Spirit just work in Lawrence's heart, and he can share about that sometime when he gets up here to share. But just the dynamic of how the Lord worked things together, where at the end of the day, I know that this is another lifelong kingdom friendship that the Lord brought together by His Spirit. And it's been a wild, wild ride. Because not only is God just doing this, he's doing this for a reason and for a purpose. And so the next picture, it's the one where we're all in white. This is one of my favorites. Yes! Okay. So, we're not in a cult. We were blessed with these flowing Indian robes by our friends and contacts, and this is in Rajahmundry at our children's home, and they blessed us one year with these all white robes, and we just put them on, and we've got all the sunglasses. We're on a mission from God, literally. But I remember after Troy, my friend Troy had connected me with another friend Troy. I remember that he got me going to this Bible study at the Gokie's house. And I remember that there was one Saturday night, and it was... Okay, you guys know how good the worship is here on Sunday mornings. I mean, we're just on Tuesday nights. Quick side note, we are so incredibly blessed with the anointing and the Lord's presence and worship here. I can't even begin to describe it. I mean, we are blessed. The very fact that this atmosphere of different people playing different instruments and different teams, all of that is entirely the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that you can have 6 to 7 different worship leaders, like that is incredible. And all of it with a heart of, we're all here to do this just to worship. It's not just for it to be excellent, because the Lord will bring that. Well, so imagine that heart, but then that would only happen like every 2 weeks, every other Saturday night at the Edge. That same kind of like presence of the Lord would roll in and be like, oh man, I can't wait to get there because of the presence of the Lord that's going to be there. And so we'd have this awesome time of worship, and people would get healed and delivered, and people would be sitting all around and seats and everything. And I remember there was one night where Pastor Bill got up and he shared a message about somebody being like a spiritual mentor in your life, a spiritual, you know, basically a spiritual father. And he was sharing his heart on that, you know, Paul and Timothy and all of these examples or whatever. And so he got done. And so, I mean, I was just young and hungry for Jesus. And so I got up afterward, and he's just standing there, and people are milling around, and, you know, the love of the Lord's there. So everyone's like, oh, this is so great. And it was. And I remember speaking to him, and I was like, you know what? I need that. I need a mentor. I need a spiritual father to speak into my life. And obviously, Troy was part of that. But in the same way, Pastor Bill was. And it was it was funny, then Pastor Bill spoke to me afterward, and he's like, I've been sharing that message a lot. And he's like, at least that night, he's like, you're the only one that came up afterward and was like, hey, I want that. I want that. And so he began to speak and impart things into my heart. And I have some of the craziest times in the spirit with Pastor Bill. Like, I got to go with him to explore out a new region in northern Ghana, which is just crazy different. Like, him and I flew up there, and it was so much fun. And we're meeting, like, these new pastors, Pastor Abraham. And that's the first time we got to experience, like, the crocodiles. Just me, Pastor Bill and I, and we're out here. It was just... all of these unique, like, spiritual adventures, but then also seeing his heart of wanting to pursue Jesus no matter what. no matter what it looks like. And sometimes it can just like fly over my head, but I look at the testimony of what the Lord did in Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat's heart, and that they literally had spouses that cheated on them. And the Lord released grace and forgiveness to where they walked in grace and forgiveness. Like, only God can do something like that. And seeing a heart that's passionately pursuing Jesus no matter the cost, no matter the price, no matter what it looks like. And I remember being in northern Ghana in 2009 and seeing, like, Pastor Bill having temperatures of like 103 and 104 of malaria, like, while we're praying for this crusade that we're doing. And some of you guys that don't know that story, like, they got pretty sick, but it was a demonic witchcraft attack because for some reason the Lord took us to this village where one of the most powerful witch doctors in northern Ghana lived. And the Lord wanted to establish a church there. And it was this whole, like, crazy intense, like, spiritual warfare thing. And I'm looking around, I'm like, how did I get into this? We're, like, praying and standing and contending and believing for healing. And it was weird. There was one day where, like, we're praying for Pastor Bill, and as we would pray, like, the storm clouds would come in. And then we'd pray more, and then storm clouds would go out. And then we'd pray, and we'd let up, and then storm clouds would come back in. And then we'd pray some more, and they'd go back out. And it was just this tenacity in the spirit that they have on the inside of them, and Pastor Bill has. It's been such an encouragement and such a blessing of, like, hey, this is... We're living an impossible dream. We are living an impossible dream with what God is doing here in this body. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know how to apologize. I'm not apologizing for it. God's doing more in this church, and it's not a thing of pride, than some churches of 350 people that have an insane budget, that can do all kinds of things. God literally blessed us with this church debt-free from some crazy testimony that Pastor Bill shares. It does it way better than I can. But, I mean, exploring new lands, connecting us. Like, how do we meet the people in Rajahmundry? Over Skype. Because Pastor Bill, they connected. But, I mean, I've got to share my heart. Like, this is a crazy adventure. So, Pastor Bill's like, we're going to meet these people in Rajahmundry. How are we going to meet them? We're just going to drive into the town and they're going to meet us outside the town. Okay, how did you meet them? On Skype. Okay, I rode with Troy in the back of this van. Like, we're cramped up in the back with, like, all of our sound equipment because there's not really seats out there. And we roll in and there's Pastor Dewa and his brother, Pastor Prabhaka, and they're standing there beside of the road, and it's just like, I get to see firsthand this connection that God's doing, and now there's children and lepers and everything else that God's doing. It's crazy. And I got to see that firsthand. It's like, well, Lord, how did you do all of this? How did all this happen? And so, it's crazy. There's so many, like Mozambique and Ghana and Brazil and all of these nations. It's... Look around how many people are in here. It's like Gideon's army, you know? It took you from like 30,000 to 3,000. I probably got the 30,000 wrong. But down to 300. And then you do like completely unconventional things. Just blow trumpets and break a thing open and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And God does it. So I am thankful for my spiritual father, Pastor Bill, and the DNA and the heart that he carries in this body of... I love when he says, I don't know what we're doing. You're right, we don't. It's okay. And I love when he says that none of this was my idea. And I believe him. But God's laid it out and he's pursued it and he's gone after it. You know, one of the other things that has encouraged me is that... you know, the Lord brings people into our lives to help us with different things. So one of those people, so I bless Pastor Bill, and so another spiritual father, and however that works, is Rick. Oh, I love that picture. So I got another one in there of Rick. And so Rick, similar to my dad, has a work ethic, and there's Rick and Nikki in our house. There was a giant wreck. And it was a little overwhelming. And in some of the things that God's asking me to step into, sometimes practically, you know, Nikki and I, we took Rick with us into our house and we're like, and they helped us see that, hey, it's possible, Rick and Kim, that, hey, it's possible that really this is only cosmetic stuff. You can do this. Because Nikki and I were looking at it and be like, oh, man, I don't know if we can do this. But he made it possible. And so Rick's also been kind of, in some ways, you know, been taking me under his wing with some construction stuff where I'm kind of hesitant of, like, stepping out into it. And finally, he's like, you got to do it this way and do it this way. And then finally, like, it's okay. Now you can do it. And I did, except the thing that I did is leaking, but I'm going to fix it on Monday, so. But hey, you gotta jump out of the boat to swim. And then something. So thank you, Rick. And there's other of you as well here, so please don't be offended if you weren't mentioned. But then something else kind of, you know, happened in the mix. And it's something that has blessed me, and, you know, I'm praying for the Lord how to give me words for it. 1 second here. So, a lot of you know what Nikki and I are standing and contending for in the spirit for family. Because this is Father's Day. And so, some days this day has mixed feelings for me. Because I am a father. Just my kids aren't here. They're there. But one of the things that encourages me, and sometimes I lose sight of it, but sometimes it comes back up, is that what's every father's dream? That their kid would fulfill the purpose for which they were created. And my kids aren't here, they're there. But they're fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. Because each one of them is there and they're around Jesus' throne, a unique aspect and reflection of who he is, worshiping him. And sometimes it's hard. But sometimes I know what the Lord has promised, and he is faithful. And not only is he faithful to bring us natural kids, he's faithful to bring us adopted kids. Because the Lord's been showing me that he adopted me. He adopted us. So in the same way, we're going to do that. And it's hard, and it's a challenge, and it's a battle. But the Lord is faithful because he continually reminds me and us of what he has spoken and what he has promised. And sometimes it's hard to hold on to that, but at the same time, the Lord in his grace continues to release little things here and there to encourage that, hey, you're on the right path, because what I promised, I am faithful to do. And so something happened to me a couple weeks ago that just blessed me to no end. And if you can bring up the picture, Angela, of the rabbits. So, there we go. Little rabbits. But so, how do you guys know that Pastor Bill's been going through this whole thing of God's game plan for your life, or not game plan, but God's plan for the rest of your life? So one of those things in there is, you know, gifts, roles of the Spirit, salvation. Then one of the things is becoming a spiritual son. And he didn't know that I was going to do this. But one of the things that blessed me so much is a couple Sundays ago, Zach, wave your hand, Zach. He came up to me after church and he said, can you be my spiritual father? And that blessed me to no end. And I'll just share my heart with you guys. It's because, and hear me, there's times where God brings people into our life to be a spiritual father, and sometimes we don't want them to be it because we don't want to hear what they have to say. And there's times where I believe that God's called us to positively influence people and to share and release over them what God has released on the inside of us for their encouragement so that they can grow further and longer in the Spirit. I can tell you a secret. It's a lot easier when they come up and they say to you that they want it. I'll just say that again. It's a lot easier when they come up to you and they say that they want it. Because then the doorway is wide open. Because they're inviting you in. That's why I love First Friday so much. They made a choice to sit down. So now the doorway is open. So my encouragement to you is open up your heart to those that God is showing and highlighting to you to be a spiritual father. So as I was going out for the first time to meet and connect with Zach, I open up my garage door and I see four rabbits. Usually we just see one or two, but I see four. And of course, I love seeing the rabbits. One of my favorite books is Watership Down. Some of you have no idea what that is. Some of you do. Suffice it to say, you can read that if you would so like, but I'm partial to it. But one of the things that God was speaking to me, Andy, he was saying, Andy, this is just a reminder. It's another prophetic reminder of my promises over you and over Nikki and over your family, that not only am I going to bring you natural, well, not only am I going to bring you spiritual children, but I'm also going to bring you natural. And it's a picture of multiplication. It's a picture of multiplication. And so when I said yes to Jesus so many years ago, I did not know that saying yes to him would take me on the journey that I'm on. The journey that Nikki and I are on. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes we don't even know how we got here, you know. We didn't necessarily ask for this. But what I do know is despite everything that's happened, that God is faithful. He is faithful. He is 100% faithful. And there's times where we can look at different situations and circumstances, and that's why I said comparison is the thief of joy, because it really is. And so every single one of us in our lives have a unique situation, a unique battle that we are facing, that God is releasing his promises over us to stand and hold on to. And just like a good heavenly father does, he says, you can do it. You can make it. It's going to happen. You know, one of the things that motivates me the most is the testimony of Abraham. And I'm holding on to that. Because my goodness, that was a long time. But in some ways, it almost makes it, hear me on this, a little bit sweeter. Not always. I don't know about you guys, I'm a fan of sports. I used to hate sports with a passion, but that's because I had some bitter roots of getting made fun of when I was growing up, for not being very good at sports. As you can tell by this athletic specimen standing in front of you. That's right. I'm no Carl Maxfield, but I'm getting there. But I don't, for some reason, I'm drawn to championship games. I'm drawn to somebody that's at the pinnacle and they've gone through, because what, you know, I'm just drawn to those stories because there's opposition, there's things that they have to fight through, and when they're at the end and they're holding up that trophy means so much more to them than just like that moment. With that trophy, when they're holding that trophy, it's everything that took them up to that moment. Some of these people, It's what they've been waiting for their whole life, what they've dreamed, and only a small segment of actual people actually get to fulfill that in the sports realm. So I'm not lifting it up there to say that like that's the end all and best, but it's a spiritual and it's a representation of a journey and a battle and a fight to overcome to reach the pinnacle of, hey, as I'm holding this, this is the representation of what all of the standing, fighting, contending, and believing, that's what it is, and that's where it's sweet. So each one of us in our lives, the battles and things that we're facing and standing and contending for, when we see those moments break through, then we like the Israel piled up the stones because that's where the Lord brought us through. I mean, last year I got to see Pastor Jose standing in the building that he had a vision for this church, for the CISA Soccer Academy, this huge building. And I knew when he was looking at that, that was just something that was in his imagination. And then he was faithful to the Lord, and over years had built, till now, boom, he's literally standing under the physical manifestation of it. It's what God had promised, and he pulled it forth and called it out, and now it's released. And the same thing is happening here on the inside of us, here in this body, that there's things that we're standing and contending and believing for that don't make any sense. But it's going to take a spiritual family and sons and daughters in a father-son relationship, however that works in that body, to accomplish what the Lord is promising us. And I know it's going to happen because he's faithful. So in closing, that's why I have my own yes standing and contending and believing for kids, Nikki and I, adopting a natural 100%. And then today I'm wearing my humpback whale shirt because for some reason, off our land and the sea in Mozambique, there's humpback whales, and we see them every time we go. And I know that one day, whether there's a quasi-unique looking building there or not, that there will be a boat that will go from that shore to where those whales are, and I'm going to see them. And I don't even know why. I don't even know why that's on the inside of me, but I know that there's something unique there. Now, if you would like to give to Frontline Ministries International's Whale Watching Fund, no. There's things much more important than that. But somehow, I know at some point that's going to happen. And so when that happens, remind me of this morning. And at some point, some of your kids and some of our kids are going to be on those lands. And they're going to be on those places. And they're going to be in Ghana. They're going to be in Brazil. They're going to be in India. They're going to be in Mozambique. They're going to be in China. They're going to be in Singapore. They're going to be in Jerusalem. And they're going to carry the DNA that the Lord is developing on the inside of us right now. And whether you've been here for 5 minutes or 20 years, the same DNA is on the inside of you. And so, with that being said, on this awesome Father's Day, stand up. I know I'm close to my time limit. So, Lord, we open up our arms. We open up our ears. We open up our heart. And Father, in Jesus' name, we repent, Father, from anything that is holding us back, Father, from running in fullness of relationship with you and fullness of the relationship, Lord, of others that you're bringing around us. Lord, you are faithful and you are just. And Lord, you will fulfill your prophetic promises and decrees to us individually and as a family here in the Spirit. And Lord, we are thankful that on this Father's Day that you have drawn us close to you for this season, for this hour, Lord, to see the lost come into the kingdom, Father. Lord, we know that you're doing something generationally and we can't fully understand or express it. But Lord, we know that you're building it on the inside of us. So Lord, we thank you again today, Father, for your faithfulness. And Father, we open up ourselves to you, Lord, for you to show us all the things that need to be moved and cleared out of us, Lord, so that we can continue to follow you in the fullness of what you called us to. And Lord, if there's anyone here where their relationship with their earthly father hasn't been the best, or there needs to be forgiveness released or all of that, Lord, I thank you that right now, supernaturally, you'd come in by your love and you just cover that over in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, each one of us want to hear in the Spirit, you are my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Father, I thank you that you love each one here conditionally today. Lord, not because of what we do, but because of who we are. We are your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we declare that we will follow you to the ends of the earth. And we will believe your word and what you say to us, despite, Father, our situations and despite our circumstances. Because you are faithful to the end. So Lord, I bless each one today with your fire, with your anointing, with your grace. And Father, we thank you, Father, for your safety and your protection over Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, Father, right now in Jerusalem, Lord. Father, we thank you for safety and protection as they travel back, Lord, carrying with them something that you deposited on the inside of them there. And Lord, we're open to receive that, Father. And so, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would highlight to us, Lord, those that you would have us ask, Lord, to be our spiritual parents, Lord, those that would be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother to speak into us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we receive that, Father. We believe that. We ask, Father, for that. And we won't run from that, but, Father, we'll run to it because, Lord, it's a spiritual principle that you've laid out and established. So, Father, I thank you, I praise you, and I bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So go enjoy Father's Day.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.